Hi, everyone, and welcome to another fabulous episode of PageCast. My name is Shakti, and I'm new to the PageCast world as a host, so I'm excited to be kicking off this experience by reporting live from the energetic and pulsing Kingsmead Book Fair, located in the heart of Rosebank. It's a chilly day today, but keeping us warm with storytelling, and who I have the pleasure of talking to today is Louisa Traeger, Bonnie Espy, and Alistair McKay. Welcome, Louisa.
Thank you.
Alistair, and welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. It's so nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Something that lots of readers are intrigued by when it comes to the writing process is, how do you approach starting a new story? Do you map out the character first, the plot first, or something else? Shall we start with you, Alistair?
We can start with me, but my answer is quite chaotic. It depends on the story. I think some of my stories have been, I started with the world. So if I'm doing more speculative fiction, I've written a spec fic book, then the world creation was the thing that I started with, and the characters came later. Often stories, especially short stories, are based on an observation that I've seen a character out in the world, maybe out on the streets, and I just can't stop thinking about what that person might be like and what their life might be like. And so then I kind of build a story around that. And there was a third option, which I now can't remember what it was.
Plot first.
No, I think that's probably why it takes me so long to write anything, is that I have to have written quite a lot of it before I figure out what the plot needs to be. And then in the next draft, I will go back and revise, and depending on how complicated the plot is, have to do the whole like corkboard thing with intersecting lines of who meets who, when, and all of that. But I definitely don't start that. I find that very complicated. I maybe need to get a feel for the characters first.
I agree with the people watching. We don't stalk, but we do people watch from a far distance. Maybe take a picture or two.
Yeah. And maybe take some notes on my phone. Not to be creepy, but people think I'm texting, but sometimes I'm writing about them.
What about you, Louisa?
I write totally by the seat of my pants. I don't plan at all. I have friends who plan, you know, down to having post-it notes, and I really admire them, and I wish I could do that, because my kind of writing is often like driving in thick fog. You know, you can't see beyond the headlights, which leads to moments of panic, but it comes right somehow. And my novels are about real women in history who are trailblazers in some way. And so the outline of the plot is there, you know, broadly based. So I start with character and it all unfolds from there. And what I love about my way of writing is it's very alive, you know. Sometimes the narrative can take off in a completely unexpected direction.
Thank you. And what about you, Bonnie?
So I'm in good company. I don't plot either. I moved from Johannesburg to a small village, and then suddenly I just had so much I could write about. Small villages provide you with all sorts of information on characters and plot and setting. So I also don't plot, so I started with something. The initial seed to what is actually now a published book is quite different, because like Alistair, I just write and then go back and have another look at it and think, oh goodness, no, and have to change things. So exactly the same as both of these authors.
I think what we have in common is our first drafts are almost like a detailed plan.
Mm.
And then you see what needs to be done.
Mm.
Since we're all quite hell-bent on our characters and getting involved with our characters, and we probably take them away from the pages too, have there been any books that you've read recently where you've been utterly besotted with a character or plot? Or, let's be honest, a book cover really does sell it too. So what is it that draws you to a book, or what have you read recently that you've really enjoyed?
So something jumped up at me immediately because it's such a controversial book. I recently read All Fours by Miranda July for my book club. And that I was obsessed with that character. I could not put that book down. I found her very frustrating and very unlikable. And yet just so, there's something so gripping about the way that that character was written. So that really worked for me.
She is quite in the spotlight at the moment, Miranda July.
Yeah.
And I think a few of us are quite rooting for her to win the prize in June when it's announced.
But some people absolutely hate that book. It was a very heated discussion at my book club about that one.
Yeah, it has been. And for you, Louisa?
So I think for me, it's storytelling, actually, that keeps me turning the pages. So on the plane here, I read The End of Us by Abigail Dean, which is a thriller and a love story. And let me tell you, I'm quite scared of flying, but I did not feel those bumps at all when I was in the air. I was completely riveted. And I think she has both. She has the characterization. I mean, really like the texture of the love story between the two characters. But the plot is, I mean, it's intriguing, you know.
I one of the writers that I really admire is Karen Jennings. So reading, I like unlikable characters. I mean, reading her last novel, The Crooked Seed, I just read it and wish one day I can write like her, because I just find her writing so evocative about character. Also at the moment, that I read a while ago, but now I'm reading one of Nikki French's books. And again, it's easy reading, and it's a mixture of plot and character that's keeping me going for sure.
Fantastic. Sometimes when we read, we look for something that can mirror ourselves in the words that we find. And I want to know from you all, how do you see your work contributing to the current literary landscape, both locally or globally? Shall we start with you, Louisa?
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to my trailblazing women theme. And, you know, history was filled with extraordinary women who struggled to conform, yet achieved extraordinary things. And at the same time, the men who recorded that history didn't think them interesting enough to include in the history books. So it's become something of a mission for me to find and tell their stories, because I think people should know about them. And also it leads me to a sort of broader point about women, that writing my books has taught me that although in some ways things have improved for women, in others they haven't changed at all. Like, for example, the Middle East, where women are brutally suppressed, the pay gap between the sexes, domestic and sexual violence. And, you know, this is why I write historical fiction, because history isn't a dry series of facts that happened a long time ago. It's a narrative that we live and we keep reliving. And I think, you know, as women, it's really important to understand these patterns. Otherwise, how else do you protect women's rights, let alone advance them?
My story is light entertainment. Hopefully you'll find it funny. I hope when you close the book, there's a bit of a cliffhanger. I hope you close the book and go and laugh. That's really all it is. I wish I had a big, important theme behind it. I don't. Although I guess the subtle theme is two women basically making sure that the evil people don't survive. So it's based on cozy crime, but it has a dark twist to it, and I hope it's funny. It's entertainment.
I think linked to the point about not knowing what I'm doing when I start and not plotting properly when I start, I think for me, the themes kind of emerge also as I'm writing. So I don't write towards a particular theme, but I'm drawn to write certain kinds of characters and certain kinds of stories. And I think what has emerged is that I often have a focus on mental health, which I think is maybe my work is contributes to that maybe in the world, especially maybe male mental health, which is not spoken about very much.
It's completely unspoken about. So I think that's really important, because there are a lot of men who struggle but can't speak.
Yeah, exactly. And the kind of pressures and what masculinity does, and you're not allowed to feel things and you're not allowed to cry. And so it's processing a lot of that and a lot of anxiety. A lot of my characters struggle with anxiety. I guess there's also, it's sometimes described as queer literature. I don't know how I feel about that, but a lot of my characters are queer people, which I think is kind of important also, again, because those stories haven't been told as much as they need to have been told. So partially just for the inclusion, also because there are so many diverse experiences that can be shown like that. And also just because I think that, you know, human beings all have interesting stories and there's nothing inherently other about it. And so sometimes the people in my stories happen to be queer, but that's not the reason for the story. That isn't actually the story. That's just a detail about them. And then sometimes there'll be things, you know, coming out or particular experiences of queer people. So I suppose that's also part of it. And I guess the last thing that I think my books try to grapple with is South Africa's kind of persistent social chasms and characters trying to bridge those gaps and trying to reach across those divides and trying to find love and community in quite a divided place, I reckon. I don't know. Maybe you tell me what it is.
Well, our listeners can tell us. Okay, yes. Follow Alistair and Louisa and Bonnie on social media, and you tell us what you think about their books.
There is a quote, sorry, on that point, there is a quote, and I can't remember who said it, but that the last person who should tell you what the book is about is the author of that book. Because the readers are the one who can see all of the themes.
You know? That's brilliant. I love that. I'm going to keep that.
But with all of your books being quite character-driven and very character-focused, we want to know, was there ever a time where you as a writer felt seen?
No, not for me. I was just thinking, if you looked at my social media, you'll see I say I write about ordinary people that do evil things for the right reason. So I guess that's my theme, if we go back to theme. So it's, I'm still new in the marketplace, a new author. And I know people are enjoying the book as from a light, fun read point of view.
So I love that question. And I think for me, my best moments of feeling seen have not been, being nominated for things or, reviews and newspapers and stuff, but they've been reader responses. So I had one reader write to me and say that she'd had a brain injury and she hadn't been able to read, and she'd always been a really keen reader. And it had bothered her so much because she missed reading, but she was able to get into it. Was my debut novel, The Lodger. She was able to get into it. She was able to read. And that meant more to me than anything.
I think I agree with you, Louisa. I think the things that have moved me the most are when readers speak to me at a book event or wherever it is. And sometimes people even get tears in their eyes telling me how something I wrote made them feel. And that's what it's all about. That feels incredible, because that's what I'm hoping to achieve with people and move them and make them feel something deeply.
Well, as publicists, I think we fangirl all the time because we get to meet you in real life and you're our celebrities in our world, literally. And it's always lovely to spend time with all of you and realize that we all share this love for literature and for storytelling and bringing communities together and, just championing literacy on all ends. And to end, I just wanted to ask you, now that you're at Kingsmead Book Fair, are you attending any panels? Are there any authors that you're looking forward to witnessing in action, or any books that you're definitely going to buy on your way out?
I've just attended the Trends chat with Dion Chang. Scary. The book is about 80 odd trends in the world, and I must say I must go and get it, because it talks all about, especially that Big Brother tracking us, social media tracking you, the way your buying power is channeled. So yeah, so that's the one I have attended, and I have two crime sessions with other crime authors, Marina Ora, who's a crime writer, together with Juliette Mgwete. I'm going to that one as well.
Well, I must say, so I just arrived, but now I'm desperate to read Bonnie's book and Alistair's book. And my schedule's quite packed, so I didn't book for other panelists. But I'm with the author of, Half Broken People. And that's a book I've been wanting to read for ages. Don't know when it came out here, but you weren't able to get it in the UK until after I left for South Africa. So I'm just really looking forward to being in conversation with her and to reading her book.
I'm attending a few. I think I'm attending the one on Joburg and the history of Joburg and what Joburg means to writers and the literary tradition. And I'm attending one a bit later, which I think has Gail Schimmel in it, about plot twists and how to write suspense. And you, Bonnie?
Gail is interviewing me later.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the same one, but yeah. Yes.
And then another book that I definitely need to buy by the end of today is Sven Axelrad's latest. He and I are on a panel later, and I love his work. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, we love seeing the two of you on social media as well. Definitely the interaction.
We like book tour besties. It's
definitely
great.
Definitely. Literary darlings. We like to see you. Thank you so much, Alistair, Louisa, and Bonnie, for joining us today on our episode of PageCast.
Thank you for having us. It was such fun.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation.
and enjoy the rest of the festival. And to our listeners, please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much.